Check a one, two.
Hello.
Two. Mikey.
Hello.
Ty Ty. Affy. Disasty. All right. You're giving people audible seizures. Settle down.
Is that noise one clap, or is that something else that sounds similar?
All right. Jesus Christ. Welcome on.
What's the point of having our own horn if we're not going to toot it, you know what I'm saying?
Tyler, is that a masturbation reference?
No.
Sure is.
Welcome to the After Disaster, back to our roots, Thursday nights, coming to you Friday. Happy Friday, everybody. I'm Anderson. That is Mike Carano to my left, and there's Ty Ty on the heavy applause. Heavy applause. Lots of applause. Settle down.
Really?
Yeah. So I feel like we haven't done the show once again here in weeks. It feels like it's been weeks, yeah?
Has it been?
I don't think it has been because we did one last week, so it has.
But we did Monday, so it seems longer.
Oh, we did do Monday last week?
I think so.
So it's like been an extended absence.
Quick question.
Well, I miss you guys then.
Quick question. Why do we do Monday?
I don't know.
Because that's when we could do it at 8.
Yeah, well, that's stupid.
No, 8 is great.
So, I got some good stuff, some decent stuff to talk about this week.
If they're 8, it's too late, is the NAMBLA motto. No joke. I heard that, actually. They don't want to fuck any boy over 8.
Yes, Mike. I think that you're a little bit off.
No, I heard that.
I know you heard that, and it's a joke, and I've heard it, too. And
that's not a joke.
It's not real.
I thought it was younger than 7, welcome to heaven.
7 must be the perfect age for a child. If you want to molest them.
If they're 5, I feel alive.
If they're 4, go in the back door.
Right, come on, we're not that show. I mean, let's not be this show, all right?
If you're 3, show me your pee-pee.
We're not, but if we were this show, these are the things that we might talk about.
But when they're 2, they tend to chew.
What? All
right,
when they're 1, they're the most fun.
All right. Let's not open the show with pedophile jokes. All right. As funny as they might be, they're immature people such as me. All right. Let's move on to bigger and better things.
What if you're the sickest pedophile and your quest is to get the youngest baby? So you.
Oh, my God.
All right, Mike. Let's not.
Whatever country you rule, you're always in the delivery room.
You have to rule a country? That's step one?
That's probably some Asian country.
Wow, that guy's so motivated. He's really just scaled the ranks of the military.
Like, I could see that. I could see the North. No, but
I wonder what drives him. I must fuck the youngest baby.
I could see, like, a North Korean leader, like, being in the waiting room and just they hand the baby right to him.
There's a movie called Serbian Film, all right? Go watch it. Not even original, so
I don't like that
on.
Stuff.
God, we're that show. We're becoming that show. Just, like, shock value show.
That wasn't shocking.
How many people do you think tuned out just now? I bet you a few. Said, all right, this is not how I want to start my Friday.
Someone who was like, oh, my friend recommended this show. Check it out. They were talking about fucking kids.
I wasn't talking about fucking them. I just talking
you
about,
absolutely were. There's nothing else you were talking
no
about.
No room for
scenario.
Interpretation.
Molesting them, not fucking necessarily.
All right. Mm. So here's what I bring to the table. I don't know what you guys got. Going to talk about drugs.
Had a whole lot of anger.
Doing them. Talk about morphine, my experience with morphine.
Recently?
Mm-hmm. I want to talk about the service reflection that I'm seeing out there in the world. This might not go anywhere. This might be terrible. I understand that. But I want to talk a little
Service reflection?
How it's kind of the middle class. You always hear the middle class is shrinking, right? And we're the upper class and the lower class are growing. And I feel like it's prevalent. I didn't really notice it until just recently I started taking stock of how the services, especially in L.A., are either like all or nothing.
Mm, it's either mostly like nothing.
Park on the street, and you have like 5 minutes to park here, and if you can get a spot, and you probably get dinged, and we'll give you a ticket even if you have $3 in the meter.
Yeah.
Or for $50 or $100, we'll take your car and detail it, and we have a bunch of servants who valet it for you. There's like nothing. There's no like middle choice.
Well, I disagree with that. There's places like Target and stuff where
it's just an open parking lot. It's awful. It's
terrible. But it's not either or. It's middle.
Well, that's the lower end.
But in
about.
LA,
and
proper,
all the spots are compact, and all the cars are giant, so there's nowhere to park. Yeah. It's all hell.
No, but in LA, I think you're right. But I think it's mostly what the lower end of it. I think it's mostly park here.
Mostly
we're going to completely fuck you, and then I'm surprised when I go
to the Grove recently. I don't know if you've been there. Lately, but like they're trying to be extra, extra fancy, and they have this whole lower level. All the animals, which is most of us, are parking like in the structure. Yeah. Like
not me. I park in the flat lot out front every time.
Well, there's like a lower section where there's like literal butlers like yeah. wearing tuxedos,
yeah.
ready to take your car
yeah.
and wash it while you're there. Yep. And I think that they can walk your pet for you.
Mm-hmm.
And it, God knows what it costs. I don't even, you know. And there's a giant line of people. I don't know.
Hey, I've had friends take me out to breakfast there, and with the lead in, hey,
you want to service your girlfriend for you?
Want to come with me to get my car washed and we'll grab some food? I'm like, yeah. And then we just drop their car off and then we go to a restaurant.
What kind of invite is? Do you want to?
And we're gone for an hour.
My car with me.
And we come back and they've waxed it and everything.
That's where we used to make out when I was in high school. We'd go to car washes and it would give us a good 3 minutes of privacy where we're in the little car wash section, me and my lady,
while it's being washed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like the self-serve ones where you're at, you know, going through.
Yeah.
We'd have 3 minutes to get it done.
Like that one and I went through?
Not while the illegal immigrant is wiping down your car.
We try and finish
towel.
Before the dry. No, that's, it's one of those ones where you go out and the giant blow dryer.
You missed a spot, buddy.
No, it's one of those ones with the 60-second blow dryer, giant, massive car blow dryer at the end.
Yeah, blow dryer.
And it counts down. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about, the stress.
Yeah, and you would actually have sex in that, in a car, while you were going through the car wash?
I don't know if it was actual penetration, but, you know, we'd fuck around.
Bitch.
Yeah. Sometimes I'd be like, car's still a little dirty.
Were you aware that, the sun goes down at some point and you could just go somewhere where it's dark?
Don't let the
Because car washes used to cost $1 back then. It was pretty great. A buck. We'd do it just for
you're
fun.
You're like, let's do it again, George.
Yep.
Well, run it through again.
Who's George?
That's the guy who runs the car wash. Jorge. Not the person you're
His name's Jorge.
Oh, I want to do an experiment this week for the show.
Experiment?
Experiment. An
experiment.
Experiment
rhino?
Okay. What?
Let's name it something very, very sexually explicit.
Okay.
The great big boob debate is our most downloaded.
Yeah,
episode.
Let's see just how high we can get the numbers just from ridiculous.
We'll call it sex with little kids.
No,
that's
not going to help the numbers.
No.
It would be relevant to what we had talked about.
How to get laid by hot bitches. Yeah. Let's call it something like that. If we can come up with
what's
a better
the sex
name.
Experiment? Let's hear it.
That's it. We're going to see how many, if we can double our numbers.
I wouldn't download that because I would think that it was a bunch of guys like us talking about how to try to get laid. I think you got to do something like hot college sex confessions or something like that.
No. It's got to be a
sorority
hook.
Sex confessions.
Why is that appealing?
Sorority sex fessions.
Why is the sorority thing appealing?
I don't know.
Because they're young and they're firm.
Hey, I have a really dumb question to ask that I'm sure both of you guys...
I'll never forget. My old boss, he's like, dude, I like to go see... Oh, what was the name of that band? Silverchair. Remember that band, Silverchair?
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, I'm going to see Silverchair tonight. Bunch of little hot freshies. I have to flash them. All firm. Little 18-year-old firmies.
Oh,
I'm like, all right. That was my boss.
God.
I'm like, enjoy!
How old was he?
I don't know, but he's the guy that greenlit the show.
Sounds pretty sad.
Makes a little sense.
What is, here's the question I had, and this is idiotic. What does co-ed mean?
It's both boys and girls.
No, but why do they say, young co-eds?
It is weird that they only use that to refer to girls.
But yeah,
because back in the day, the way I understand it is back in the day, it was all males, right? And then they started implementing females as well, and they called it co-educational. It's co-educational.
No, I understand that. I understand the root of the word.
They came to embody the change that
if it is co-ed, then the lady's going to be there.
Created for.
If it's just ed, there's just dudes.
In my experience, it's only applied to some, not necessarily even porno, but a group of chicks, and they're always college. It's always co-ed.
I feel like I just explained it quite... Clearly.
Mike, go download this tomorrow. Just rewind to right before where we're talking right now.
To my answer, yeah.
And then you'll get it.
I give him the exact answer. He's like, no, but why?
Have you seen those porno clips where the setup
porno
is...
Porno clips!
The setup is... It's a college girl, and it's... I don't even think it's a bet. I think it's just a
co-ed
game.
Porno clips. That's the name of the
episode.
She has
to have sex with the first guy that she sees. So the camera crew runs down the hall.
Dare dorm.
And she finds the dude, and then he's just, for some reason, game for, keep filming.
Why wouldn't he be? Dare dorm.
I don't know, man. It seems really... I wouldn't be. I'd be like, hey, I can't do this.
Mike's like, what's the catch? I'm wearing shorts. Is that okay?
Mike's like, you obviously didn't hear last episode. Only game if you're lame or five, alive. Whatever. Never mind.
That wasn't in reference to myself.
Mike's like, but first,
I know
can you explain
Michael.
why you're a co-ed? Can we get down to the bottom of that first?
it's a very antiquated old term. I don't know why it still hangs around. It's stupid. I don't like it. Co-ed, see?
Yeah, it makes me think of poodle skirts.
Yeah. It's from that era.
It's sweater, sweater
really?
Puppies.
We don't let ladies on our here campus. They don't need to get smart. They need to stay in the kitchen.
I saw an old picture from the 70s of Bill and Hillary Clinton, and I totally get why he was into her, because she had these amazing little tits.
Oh, my God. Michael. Oh, my God.
You know what? If I never met Michael, I don't know anything about Corona.
I just wanted to say that because that doesn't sound like – that's not how I would phrase something. And that sounded funnier before I said it. Once it came out of my mouth, I was like, ugh. Ah. But she did have these really nice breasts.
Don't say it. Okay. Don't say it again. Hillary Clinton's nipples. That's the title of the episode.
Those make me want to run for leader of this country. It's really a half-assed Bill Clinton.
Hey, I got a Clinton in there.
Let me tell you, people of America, I hate your ass.
What's the sex experiment we're talking about?
Oh, my God.
Say to the people of America and the nations of the world that I hate your ass.
Is that Daryl Hammond?
God, I do.
Yeah.
But I love Hillary.
Is it really?
Sweet.
That's Daryl Hammond.
Oh, good guess on my part.
Oh, why did you say that, Mike?
I don't know. I regret it.
No, I regret it. It was hilarious to hear. It was upsetting. Also.
Tyler, please bask in the glory that is Mike still sitting here going, we need to do, what is the sex experiment going to be? What's it going to be?
What is it?
The experiment is we're going to name the episode.
I thought you actually had an experiment.
You're like ready to whip it out.
Yeah, seriously. Mike was hoping we were going to call this episode Three Guy Beat Off.
Three Guy Beat Off.
All right.
Our lowest downloaded episode.
Guys. Can we not be that show? Did I tell the story?
You started it.
I know. Hey.
Yeah, I'm sorry, folks. I'm sorry we did that.
Can we not be the show that talks about what I brought up?
The You Started It show? Hey, did I tell the story of me being white, middle-class douche fuck, getting money at an ATM after work one night? Did I tell this story?
I don't believe so.
I don't know why I did it. I've been off. We've all been off. A little bit off for the last couple weeks.
We're back, though.
We're on fire.
We're back, baby.
With titty co-ed talk.
Pedophilia right off the top. Okay. I needed a...
Bouncy.
I know I told the story about when I was like 17, 18 and doing lots of drugs and meth. And I had $19 in my account, but I wanted to get the money out. So I lied and it was ATM and I lied and said that I put a dollar in there, but I just put like a slip of paper. And then because they only give you increments of 20. So I only had 19 in the account. So I lied and I made a fake deposit of a dollar. So I can get my 20 out. And I remember what that was for. That was so I can go to a strip joint at like 3 in the morning. How is that 19-year-old not dead today? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I was going down a path of bad times. Mm-hmm. Remember Bank of America called me in. They gave me a little chiding. They're like, this is fraudulent. You could just spend time in prison for...
Over $1?
They were freaking out. Because can you imagine? Like they come in and they're like, it's weird, a dollar deposit? Let's see. And just a slip of paper.
And what a shitty tipper you are at the strip club if all the money you're bringing in is one $20 bill.
I was meth out of my mind. I just wanted to get in the door.
Was there a cover charge?
Yeah, it was a cover charge. I remember this.
Like uncover charge.
I remember there was like a, you get in for only $5 if you have this little cutout from the LA Times sports section.
Oh, my God.
I know. That's how long ago it was. I'm an old dude.
Was it enjoyable?
Was there some Fermis?
It was titillating, and it was... I remember the...
Titillating.
It was just weird.
Was it the breast night of your life?
It was like I was by myself, and I wasn't in a place where I could have sex, but I was like methed out, and I'd been up for 2 days, and I was like, you know, total addict behavior, and I wanted to just go look at naked chicks. And what was cool is they were like right around my age, which is weird. You know what I mean? I'm like, hey, I could be going to school with that girl, but instead she's hot, and she's completely naked in front of me, and I'm not going to have sex with her. But she's naked.
So it wasn't. They didn't serve booze because it was an all-nude place?
All nude. There was this place called the Industrial Strip, and it was out in Glendale. And it was like in the middle of nowhere.
Did you have to look it up?
It was over by where Corolla's spot is.
Did you have to look it up?
Yeah, well, I found it in the sports section in the LA Times.
I remember when we went to a strip club that was all nude for the first time, and I was obsessed with the fact they didn't serve booze, and I thought it was the worst experience ever.
It is funny that they don't think that we can handle like
vaginas and booze.
Vagina. But we can handle beer and boobs, no problem. Yeah. But as soon as you like drop the panties, it's game on.
Yep.
If we got booze, we're going to do raping. Right?
As she starts to lower, gentlemen, start your
raping.
Wow. So we can check the
rape
box.
Is that a good episode title?
Start your raping.
So the other night, it was really late at night, and I needed some money for some much more pure purposes. I'm sure I was not going to strip joints. I just needed some cash for breakfast tomorrow or something. And I was actually in Jillian's car from the wife. And I pull up and I leave the car idling. It's like in a parking lot, right? And the lights are on. Stanley's in the car, and I run up to the ATM, and it's always a little sketchy because it's not the safest of neighborhoods, and my car is running, and you know. And I'm doing my transaction, just getting a quick like $40 or whatever. And I hear this voice saying, "Goddamn money bags,
tell me about your goddamn money. Did you come here to rape me?
And I'm like, what? Where is this coming from? But I'm just like, you know, doing the transaction quick and kind of looking around, but not really too much. Then I take my money, I take the card, and I'm going back to the car, and I'm scoping, and I'm looking, and I'm still hearing the voice. Hey,
God, I don't care about your goddamn system. Triple cat.
That sounded like Nick Nolte.
Goddamn Nick Nolte.
But
a clear throat there, Nick?
There's a homeless dude who's sleeping in a sleeping bag, like on the sidewalk, and the poor bastard, I pulled the car up, and my, like, wasn't the high beams, but the lights are
shining. You left them on?
Yeah, they're on. And they're just completely shining on this poor fucker, right? And he's all blinded by it.
Oh, no.
And while white man is, well, he's a white dude, too, but he, you know, he looks dirty. It's hard to
white
tell
man, is this an ATM on the plains of the Wild West?
So as I'm getting my money out from my established bank, can I have my Japanese automobile, like, you know, rolling with the gasoline? And this poor guy, he has nothing, and he's probably a war vet. I don't know. He's at least mentally broken.
I love that we all just assume homeless people are all war vets.
And I felt like such an
asshole. Thanks for serving, sir.
Because I just left the lights on, and they woke him up. And then as I'm driving away, he just kept saying, "You came here to rape me! You came here to rape me!"
Jeez.
And I had my $40, and I felt pretty good.
You should have got out and slowly taken off your belt and walked towards this bush.
It wasn't a bush, though. It was just open. It was just an open slab of concrete.
No, you know what? You should have looked around and be like, well, it doesn't look like they're serving alcohol here. I guess you're right.
Hey,
no,
here's
work.
My
None
question.
That works.
Is
that doesn't work.
Let me pre-
Oh, wait, yeah, it's the other way around. Damn it.
Let me preface what I'm about to say with I do care about the homeless and I do give them money.
You shouldn't do that. Don't
but,
do that.
Well, I do.
Stop giving them money.
I do. Not all of them, most.
Don't give them money.
So, what is the deal?
Mike, I'm homeless.
Give me another reason other than insanity, and maybe there isn't another one, where these guys, like on Beverly Boulevard and stuff, the homeless guy that's there, Beverly and Crescent or La Cienega, very, very, very busy intersection.
Worldwide podcast.
That dude just sprawls out all day on the sidewalk, sprawled out, just sleeps. Mm-hmm. A very busy street. Mm-hmm. Just as if it's totally his bedroom.
Can't do anything with him.
His bag strewn about. No, but I mean, how do you sleep on a hot sidewalk underneath the sun on a busy, busy street when if he walked 50 feet, he'd be on a side street and he could lay in the alley or something?
I would think, and
I don't
know.
Probably likes the sunstroke.
But I would guess that he had been victimized at some point and he felt safe out in the open with lots of traffic and people.
Also, laying down on hot concrete sometimes feels awesome.
Yeah, for like 10 seconds it feels awesome. Not baking out there for 6-7 hours in the day.
Yeah, that's how you get that nice crisp outer skin layer.
It's not bad.
What are we doing?
You have a point.
On that, like, if you bend your arm, it like crunches and cracks a little bit.
Mm. I have a feeling this dude's not afraid of being victimized for a second time because he's pretty... When he's awake, he's very, very fucking threatening.
So I was up in Lancaster a couple weeks ago with a buddy who lives up there.
Did you find the musical road?
I'm going to be... No, I didn't. I forgot to even ask about it, but I was scouting for my next little short, which I'm definitely going to shoot up there, and he was telling me all about the town in Lancaster. I didn't know much about it. You know, it's got a bad rap, maybe deservedly so, but there was like two halves, and it's like literally on the other side of the tracks. There's like, it becomes really a really bad, it's like really nice, like middle class, nice suburban homes, and then all of a sudden it just becomes like 1960s Inglewood. Or like,
really?
Yeah. It's almost like instantaneous. It's crazy.
Like, is it people of color, or is it just white trash, or what is it?
I don't think people of color is the...
No, that's the preferred term.
They're of African descent, many of them. Many of them are of African descent. But there's a lot of white trashy fucks there as well.
It's just a place that there's homes that are really cheap. And
it's very cheap. Yeah, well, even the nice side is cheap. But the other side
is... I almost moved to Lancaster right before high school.
It's like, you know when you watch these crazy shows where, like, in the middle of the country, you get, like, mini mansions for, like, $200,000, and it's just crazy because the shit that you have to live in if you live in Southern California is just so ridiculous. They're priced more moderately, like, middle of the country out there in Lancaster because it's so far from L.A.
How far is
it? But they're nice. It's like an hour and 15 from here. Anyways.
Up the five.
Point is, my buddy Jason, who, he's crazy enough to live up there because he's a badass, and, he was telling me, he's like, wait, you'll see this homeless guy if we go over across Division, and you'll see him. He's out here every day. He's out here, and he's crazy. I'm like, why is he crazy? He's like, watch, he'll be flipping people off and yelling. And He was one of the more entertaining homeless guys. He was there just as Jason told me he was going to be there, and we were stuck at a red light, so I got to hear this guy talking about his copper-tone girlfriend and how she's, first of all, he's holding a Red Bull. We both found that very funny because the last thing this guy needs is energy.
It's a $5 energy drink.
He's clutching a tennis racket as though it's a baby, and he's holding a magazine, like a Sports Illustrated swimsuit edition magazine, and he's kind of holding it like he's doing an ad for it. And to anyone who will listen, and it was us at the time, sitting there in traffic, he's explaining to us that his copper-tone girlfriend, that's a real tan. She gets that's a real tan she's got. My girlfriend's copper-tone girl, it's a real tan.
No mention of the dog that was pulling down her bathing suit bottom.
Yeah, that's an inappropriate ad campaign, right?
Not really, but it can be viewed that way now.
They used to be everywhere, and I don't think that I've seen one in years.
There's one inside Disneyland.
And it's edited.
Is there?
Yeah.
It's edited?
They, like, covered the butt crack.
Yeah. You're correct.
It's a little 5 or 6-year-old girl, and there's a dog ripping
pulling
down
her pants.
She's 6 and ready to mix.
He's trying to get at her vag, that dog.
Oh, my God. Michael. Mike.
Michael. It's not.
Sorry. I'm so irritated. My mind is so.
Yeah, Mike's in a weird place right now. Mike's not.
Totally weird place.
You want to talk about it a little bit?
No.
You sure?
Yeah.
All right.
But that Coppertone ad was everywhere.
Like, literally, you go to the beach in every single trash can, which there were plentiful back then.
Billboards everywhere, magazines everywhere. And they updated that girl from the 40s on through, like, the 90s, right? Like, it was a different girl.
And for a while, just her butt was the mascot, which I thought was weird.
Yep.
Tyler?
Yep.
It's like a butt with sunglasses on.
I don't think that's accurate at all.
The original campaign was somebody spelled out, open for business with an arrow pointing down to her butt crack.
Okay. Guys. I don't know if I want to be a part of this program.
I don't either. I'm sorry. I don't know what's happening. I don't like it. This is not good. Oh, my God. Some of those ads. That Coppertone one, obviously the point was just to show you that the line between her pure white.
Well, and it's creepy that it's on a lotion bottle.
Her pure white butt cheeks and her well-tanned
Snow White
child skin, mm-hmm. which is exactly, you know, that's exactly what you're trying to avoid now.
What?
You slather sunscreen on your kids nowadays.
Yeah, that's right. You shouldn't have tan lines if you're 5.
No. Look at the golden tan on my 4-year-old. They should have done a Marlboro Man anti-sun aging ad with the dead Coppertone chick, like in the hospital.
Oh, my God.
I've got skin cancer.
No, they should not do that. There's enough of that. Oh, God. Do you see those anti-smoke? You don't, because you don't have regular TV.
I've seen them, though.
You have seen them?
I've seen the anti-texting ad, and that one fucks me up.
What is that one?
Oh, my God. The 4 kids in the car, and the girl's texting, and they're all laughing, having a great time, and she runs the light and just gets T-boned.
The way worse one is the guy who, like, talks to the camera about how he was texting, and he murdered, like, 6 kids with his car.
Yeah.
And he's like, and it worked out well for me, because my dream is to be on TV.
I gotta be honest with you. I've done a switcheroo on the texting thing. When they first talked about making it illegal, I was so pissed off and so anti them. I was like, fuck them, you can't do this, you fucking cocksuckers.
It's a real problem, and I don't know how they're gonna get rid of it.
It is a real problem, and now I can't believe that it was ever legal to do that in the car.
It's crazy, right?
It's insane.
Like 10 years from now, 5 years from now, I think the kids are gonna be like, wait, you used to. But they're all gonna still be doing it, because
yeah.
How do you make them not do it?
Yeah. I was actually bragging to someone today about how I've probably locked up Without hitting people, I've probably locked up all 4 tires a dozen times in the past 3 years mm-hmm. from texting and looking up. Oh!
I was talking to my gas station girl, because there's a gas station girl. I go to this one gas station enough that I know her. And she had a new car. I even know that it's like her when she's working, because I see her car. But she had a new one out there. I'm like, hey, what happened? You got a new car. It's good for you. She goes, yeah, because I totaled my last one. I'm like, texting? How'd you know? I'm like, well, what else is it going to be?
Yeah.
And that's what it was. She was texting. She drove off the freeway.
Did she hurt anybody?
Oh, my God.
No. She's like, it's okay, though, because I didn't hurt anyone.
Does she really talk like that?
Yeah. She's one of these chicks. Like, she has leopard skin hair and tattoos.
Oh, she sounds so awful.
And she looks like she's got like a cool look. And she's not super hot, but she's, you know, pretty. Mm-hmm. And I used to always see her, and I never talked to her. And I always thought that she must have some kind of really, really cool backstory. And I bet she's a super cool chick. Finally, one day, I had to talk to her because my pump wasn't working, and she just started talking, and it was so funny how, like, reality is so different from, I don't want to call it a fantasy, but, like,
you imagine she's this hard-edged fucking rock and roll.
She actually said to me, she's like, I'm like, oh, okay, I was trying to end the conversation, and she says, no, listen, and then she continued to talk about something I didn't want to hear about. at all. It was about her job, and it was just, it was mind-numbing.
There's a girl like that, and I don't want to go into too much detail about where. She's very, very beautiful.
Hey, if that chick listens, then I think I wouldn't be shocked. I was just saying that for the sake of the show. You're quite sweet and entertaining.
As a girl that I started a conversation
with. Tell good stories about your workplace.
Yeah, and she's been abused. She's talked about it.
Like penis abuse or fist abuse?
I don't know.
Verbal.
Is that the clinical term? Penis abuse?
Like tongue lashing abuse? Like the verbal or the penis or the fist? What's the worst?
The best is just to do all three.
No, what's the worst? If you had to pick one.
The rape.
The penis, yeah.
Yeah, I think so. Because that's a serious violation. The other ones are just chipping away at your self-esteem.
Okay.
But I thought she was interesting. Same exact thing. And, you know, she's super punk rock looking, got the tats, but she's also beautiful. Like, not, like, beautiful in a way where you and I would like her.
Is she Latina?
No.
Thank God. What if it was the same chick?
That'd be funny. So we were talking, and I just went, are you gay? She goes, I don't see sex in people.
Oh, Christ.
She goes, I fall in love with the person. I don't see sex at all. I'm completely blind to it. And then I just went, I'm checking out of this conversation right now. You fucking whack.
Get out.
Whack job.
It's funny. There was a split moment in my life where I'd be like, wow, man, she's really free. And I like the way she thinks,
me too.
Man.
Me too.
For like maybe 2 weeks of my life.
I would have thought that way just to try to get her to like me.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. You can put like all your beliefs on hold at one point in your life just for the opposite sex.
There was a chick that showed up at the Improv one day looking for a job when I was a kid, like in the early 90s. And she was so beautiful. And I remember her name.
As he tries to recall that. Do you remember it? Or
Her name was Joanna Salem.
Okay. All right. Wait. Don't need the fuck. Okay.
I'm going to find her on Facebook.
But she was so fucking. I just thought she was so intriguing and so stunning. And I remember the conversation I had with her because it lasted less than a minute. And she just went on and on and on about. Do you have any reggae? Do you play reggae in here?
Because
I just love reggae, and I hate reggae. And I went out and bought Bob Marley's Greatest Hits and some other shit, some Pato Banton and stuff, so I could start to fake like reggae.
I did it.
And I put in a good word for her. I wasn't the GM at the time, and I highly recommended her for a job. And the manager the next day went, yeah, I hired that chick you want me to hire, and she quit immediately because she's going skiing.
Wait, skiing? That doesn't fit the whole reggae.
She took the job, and he goes, you can start tomorrow. And she goes, oh, I can't. I'm leaving for 2 weeks to go skiing.
That's the best.
And he goes, well, okay. And she goes, all right, thank you, though, and just left. Why would you apply for a job the day before your ski vacation?
You don't keep good calendars. All right.
And by the way, if you're Facebooking her, it wasn't Joanna. It was J-O-H-A-N-N-A. I want to find her now.
We done with exposing people's past?
Call us up with people you'd like to find on Facebook.
Tyler. Should we take some calls?
What? That's our new segment.
I need to go to the medicine cabinet. Oh, right. So last week, I was about to go to this place that I have to take you to, Lake Shrine. The Lake Shrine, the Palisades, where Gandhi's ashes, part of his ashes are spread there.
I mean, I'll go.
Very serene. It's very
beautiful. I'll go whenever you want.
It's been there since the 50s. It's by Malibu. It's free. You walk in.
I've driven by it many times.
It's all secluded. They have what's really sad, though, is they have one swan. It's constantly wandering around looking for its mate, and I don't know what happened to it.
Are the grounds so big you may be mistaken? The other swan could be hiding?
I kept thinking.
Is his name Swan D?
There's the other swan. He's going with Swami, I think. Mm. Why Swan D, Tyler? What does
he
that
said
mean?
He said Gandhi's ashes are there, so he's Swan D.
Oh, my God, Tyler. We're not that show either. No.
Oh.
I kept thinking, oh, hey, there's the other swan. And I'm like, oh,
we
wait,
are that show. That's exactly what he does. That's his whole thing.
But Swan D, we're not the bad show. We're the good show.
What do people do there? Do they meditate and stuff?
There's some meditation. There's people wearing yoga pants. There's a lot of people that you would like to not have.
I'm going to go there and meditate.
Hey, how is your meditation thing going?
I haven't done it for like 4 or 5 days because I've had some issues.
Do you have tight yoga pants that you wear while you do it to make your butt look good?
Yes, and I stand up and look in the mirror while I'm meditating, which just makes it hard to focus.
Yes. I was hoping so.
Reggie just walked by. Guys, I woke up at 6 a.m. on Saturday.
Can somebody close that door?
It's kind of closed. I woke up at 6 a.m. on Saturday, and I had Reggie in my head for whatever reason. 6 a.m., right?
Yeah. We've all been there.
I tried to go back to sleep, and it was 7:03 when I looked at the clock again. I was up for at least an hour, and I could not get Reggie out of my head.
Reggie, that's terrible.
because I'm really concerned about the guy, and I don't know what's going to happen. And I almost want to talk to him, but I don't think it's my place.
You mean you're concerned that he's going to hurt himself?
Yeah. He's not doing well.
Oh, seriously? Since? Yeah.
There's something going on very bad with Reggie. Reggie's our security guard here. We have a deep history with Reggie.
I'm going to close that door.
Yeah, he hates me right now. Are those speakers on?
No. Close the door, Michael. Reggie's looming. So here's what's happened with Reggie.
Those aren't on, right?
I'll go check. You guys make
sure. I should print that picture of Moses for his mom. Right? Is he going to bring him on?
No. He's merely confirming that our speakers are in the off position.
I thought Anderson was going to bring him in here and confront him about it.
Well, he's been gone for far too long at this point. It's definitely a possibility.
Is, all right, here's another dumb question, worse than the co-ed one. Okay. Way worse. Spring training is over with, right?
Yes, spring training is over with.
Is that one of your most enjoyable times of the year, is driving out with the wife and watching spring training?
It's enjoyable because I know the baseball season is coming. So that's nice.
It's not like a family ritual you guys have?
No, I've only done it twice. I did it once last year with Lauren and once this year with my friends.
All right. So, yeah, we're safe.
Okay, great. Sad.
Do you think we're to blame if anything happens?
No, we're not to blame. But
do you think we're going to go, out of guilt, we're going to go to the funeral?
I would totally show up at Reggie's funeral, yeah.
It would be us and his mom.
A couple other security guards. Okay, so a few weeks ago, I hurt Reggie's feelings again, and he goes through like stints where he hates me, and this time I felt like I was in the right because he was ambushing poor Mike Carano here with his mom on the phone. Well, Reggie's mom was on the phone, and they're both like strong-arming him and guilting him into doing a bunch of free work that would cost money for Mike and a lot of his time, and I think that it's rude, and I think that it's presumptuous and unfair to you.
Especially I'm with you. I'm totally with you, but I didn't have the balls to tell him that.
Well, I did, and I said, hey, you're being very unprofessional, Reggie. Why don't you back off? And I think I talked about it, but like the fact that he fires really good security guards for minor infractions, yeah, and then he does this, I think it's wrong. Anyways, shortly thereafter, Ty, his car breaks down, right? And he commutes from like 20 miles away. His car broke down, and I guess I forget what he said exactly, but it was in a state of such disrepair that it could not be resolved or something. Some horrible language like that.
There was no resurrecting it.
Right. There was no... It was like what happens with marriages where they fall apart.
Irreconcilable differences?
Yes, with the engine parts.
A conscious uncoupling.
Tyler.
Between Reggie.
My engine's consciously uncoupled from the engine mounts.
So the poor fucker, for the last month now, he takes a bus here, and Reggie doesn't walk well. He's got a bit of a limp, and he's not the picture of health by any means. And he has to take a bus here and then get off like 3-4 blocks away and limp all the way here. And he gets here an hour before his shift even begins. So he sits in our little lobby area with his phone up to his head. And I thought he was like listening to like a podcast, God forbid, or music or something. And then this is like 3-4 nights in a row, right? This happens every night. 3-4 nights in a row, he's got his phone up. And then I realize that there's somebody on the other end because I hear him say, uh-huh, that's right. And I'm like, oh, God, he's probably just talking to his mom, who apparently talks way too much, right? Mm. So the poor little fucker's sitting in the lobby every night before his shift for an hour, listening to his mom go on and on and on about Moses or God knows what, right? I'm walking
That's all she knows is one guy, one character out of the Bible. So she's obsessed with Moses.
She never got past Moses. She doesn't even know what happens in the New Testament.
I have no idea what you guys are talking about.
Do you want to go see the Noah movie?
Who's that?
Let me know when Moses comes out.
Noah's before Moses.
I have no idea about any of that. So about 2 weeks ago, I just feel bad for him. So I stop him on my way out. It's not like petty. It's not pity that I feel for him. It's like I'm really concerned about the dude because I know that he's not well. And I know I go through really dark stretches as well, and where a lot of bad shit happens all at once. And I said, Reggie, I know that things suck right now, but they will get better. You just got to hang in there and... keep the faith, something along those lines. And then there's just this awkward silence, and he goes, good night, Anderson. Goodbye. So he's still pissed at me for calling him on his shit, right? Now, here's where it gets even more concerning, and I actually talked to a doctor friend of mine about the situation. This is not, I'm not talking badly about Reggie, and I'm not using his last name, so I feel like this is okay to say. But when the mind is truly breaking and you're truly giving up, one of the first things that goes is the hygiene. And Reggie's not smelling good these days. It concerns me. It worries me. I should not be talking about this on the show, probably. I should be talking to you guys about this off air. I don't know what to do.
Probably.
Should we cut all this out? I don't know what to do.
Like all of it from the minute one?
I don't know what to do. And I feel like somebody needs to talk to him about it. You know what I mean? Did I just bring up a sad thing?
Well, somebody probably needs to talk to him about it. But if you think his mind is really snapped, it's a little too late for that.
I don't know if it's like snapped, but I think he's going down. Like that's what happens with people is they just stop taking care of them, their hygiene when they get really bad. Or this is what I was thinking about when I couldn't get back to sleep last Saturday. And I'm like, well, maybe like he doesn't have laundry facilities on site where he lives and he used to drive his laundry to a laundromat and maybe now he can't do that anymore.
I feel like maybe.
I feel like the dude needs help though, and I don't know if he has any place to get it.
Or if he'd ask for it.
If you're asking.
So bottom line is that you should make that Moses thing for him.
And now I will.
This is all an elaborate ruse and plan that Reggie and I cooked up.
He goes to Reggie's mom on the phone. She's like, good job,
got
Anderson.
Him. We got
good.
Him.
That was good.
Hook, line, and stinker.
I should be getting my Moses painting. What if his mom's listening right now?
Yes, what if?
Yeah. All right, I didn't mean to bring
this up.
Does
anyone
else
have anything more depressing to bring up?
I'm sorry. That was not good.
That was depressing. All right. Now I feel terrible. I could have had that Moses picture done months ago.
And it probably wouldn't have been a whole lot of skin off your back. Right? I on the wrong side of this argument out there in the parking lot?
No,
should I have been
no.
behind Reggie going, yeah, Mike, yeah. why have you made the Moses?
I was happy you did that. Not happy, but I was glad you did it because I would have just stood there.
I wasn't really super mean about it. I was just like, hey, Reggie, what are you doing, man? This isn't cool.
I don't think you were out of line one bit because I think he was I was kind of shocked that he did it a second time. The first time when he came running out to me with his phone and he goes, someone wants to say hi, and I had to talk to his mom for 4 minutes, that was shocking enough. But then when he did it a second time.
Does she talk a lot?
It's exactly like talking to him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But does she just go on and on and on?
Not really. But it was.
What is he
drawn
doing out,
out
there with his phone up to his ear for like a full hour?
I don't like the fact that if he thinks, like if he's truly crossed over some threshold, some hygiene threshold.
Yeah.
That there's a chance he could take us out with him.
I can't get a read on the guy either because I'll say hi to him. But now that he's mad at me, he doesn't even – he barely says hello
okay,
back.
If I'm in his shoes and I'm religious and I'm depressed and I'm considering suicide, I'm taking you with me.
Right, for
I'm
sure.
not even kidding. I think
I'd be number one on his list.
There's three assholes that are on that show, and you know, especially Anderson who like
– Well, especially you. You're the one who's withholding Moses.
Yeah, you're right.
Withholding Moses sounds like a terrible film that's going to be really popular at con.
Withholding Moses.
There's a picture of a man with a beard looking sad on the poster. Mm-hmm. Wait, what if we went into his apartment? Oh, God, the idea of that. How sad. And like, he has a calendar up, and there's just a big red X like on a certain date. If he doesn't get the Moses picture by that date, that's the day that he comes in.
What if his mom is in the bed, and she's been dead, obviously, a long time, and he's got the... He's got the cassette recorder next to her, and it's just playing, okay.
Moses picture. Oh, my God.
I regret a lot of things that we talk about in this
Me
show.
Me too. But tonight, like all the foul, like,
people
sexual stuff up front.
This, and this podcast takes a hard right turn right in the middle of it.
All right, let's go back to morphine.
And we're speaking, like, weird hush tones. This is really creepy for anyone.
Happy Friday, everybody. So... I was about to meet Jillian's English.
You
want to
talk about your dad at all while we're on like this sort of topic?
I've just been avoiding my dad. It's too painful to deal with.
Okay.
See, guys, here's the thing with my dad. No, I'm not doing that. Hey, I do want to start before I talk about morphine real quick. I do want to just say that, you know, I have a few shows. I do some things here and there, but
he's a very busy man, very prominent man in the podcast industry.
I just got to say that. Every week when I come in here and do the show with you guys.
It's just a really special time.
That just really mean a lot to me.
I wish I could conjure up that. My favorite cry is the...
That's what's in it.
I didn't take the cookie.
The cookie. Oh, you're doing Bill Cosby.
No, like when you're a kid, you know how you're. Does he do that joke?
It was, yeah, and that epic. What's the name of that Bill Cosby thing?
I don't know.
It's stand-up. It's a stand-up routine that's the Bill Cosby.
The sweater album?
Ah. Anyways, what I was just doing is
you finally caught up on Bill Burr. Jesus.
Little ode to Bill Burr.
Oh, Jesus.
And his adversity.
I gotta tell you, it's rough.
Yeah, it's good shit. That Bill Burr. Ah. And Verzi. Some good episodes there.
Yeah, three Canadian episodes with Verzi and Bilber are so damn funny.
Because they're just out there traveling together. They're on the road together. And they've just been busting each other's balls and making each other laugh throughout the entire tour that they've been doing together. And they've been doing Rodney Dangerfield nonstop. I had no idea Bilber had that in him.
I know. It blew my mind the first time he did it.
And then they had this thing called Sensitive Guy that they've been doing all trip long, where they just start to like talk about something and then they break into tears. They call it Sensitive Guy. And they're doing it to, like, waiters and stuff. And the poor waiters have no idea that they're fucking with them. Like, to the point where he puts his hand on the waiter's arm. We've had a lot of waiters on this trip. And I just want to say, you've been great. You've been bringing the water over.
I love that Bill was just like, fuck it. I think it's hilarious. I don't care if everybody's sick of it. But definitely not sick of it.
So I got a bit of a back pain. We're about to go to this Lake Shrine, right? And it's a lot of walking and swan watching and this and that and Gandhi's ashes.
God, a full day of walking through gardens and swan watching.
A lot of stairs. And I say, hey, Joe,
my back is rough.
Do you have to check in when you go there?
Nothing. It's unbelievable.
When are you going?
I don't know. We should figure out
when
they're
open. It's weird that they let you play in his ashes. That's the weird part.
Yeah.
It's not.
They have like this weird like playground set up.
It's just black ash.
It's brown. Yeah.
It'll be white, actually, because I think when you burn a body, it turns white.
I was talking to this mom.
That's bone dust. It's not even...
This mom the other day, she's got like a 1.5-year-old, no, 2-year-old, and like just casually, I'm like, hey, you take your kid to the beach yet? You know, because they live locally. She goes, no. I'm like, you got a 2-year-old kid who lives in Southern California, never seen the beach. And she goes, no, I'm not taking him to the beach. I'm like, why not? Worms. She believes that if she takes her 2-year-old to the beach, worms will immediately go for her child's ass and go up inside.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've never heard that one.
She won't take
mysterious beach worms?
Beach worms. Yeah.
I'm afraid of everything, and I've never heard that, and I said,
you're not taking your kid to the beach because worms are going to go up his ass? She goes, absolutely. Absolutely. It happens all the time.
Who is this person?
Yeah. Right after the show.
You know this person. Very excited.
So I say, hey, honey. You got any Advil?
Are beach worms a thing?
They're a thing.
Or is it like, are they microscopic and I can't see them?
What I learned later is that it is a thing, but it's usually sandboxes. And I think it comes from cat feces or something.
That sounds reasonable.
Yeah, and they do go up little kids' butts. Mm. Yeah.
That sounds upsetting.
Yeah.
I'll say.
Why are the kids naked in the sandbox?
Yeah, that's a better question.
Oh, no.
What? Reggie?
Yeah. He just came really close. A wild animal right now. I'm scared.
It is. It's like there's a panther out there.
It's kind of.
Everyone shelter in place.
There's a handicapped panther out there.
Oh my God.
What if he discovered podcasts? You know he would immediately start listening to one of these. It'd be one of the first things he'd listen
to. You know what?
What am I talking about? He'd listen to so many Jesus podcasts before he'd get to this one.
He'd have to get through hundreds of episodes before he got to this episode.
All right. So this is not a good story even, but Jesus Christ. Honey, you got any anti-inflammatories? We're about to walk a bunch of stairs and look at swans and Gandhi's ashes. Or as Jillian's dad says.
Wait, you already went?
Yes.
Oh, I thought you were inviting me.
We're going to go again, Michael. Oh. I can go more than once.
His ashes will still be there. Less, because people have played in him.
I don't think those are Gandhi's ashes.
I used to go there when I was a kid more often. All right, now I go like once every 7 years. But I can go like next week with you. Okay?
Do you think you could sneak them out like Shawshank style?
No, they're in a giant stone tomb.
Ashes in your pants, in your dirty trousers.
So I say, honey, do you have an Advil or an aspirin? My back is hurting a little bit. And it's only going to hurt worse because every now and again I can feel it and it gets bad. Cause broken back and I got metal in there.
Yeah.
And she says, no, I'm sorry, I don't have anything, honey. Oh wait, I have a morphine pill if you want that. I'm like, that sounds pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Because I got to tell you, it was almost worth breaking my back. Having two massive surgeries, having them take a rib out of my side. I'm one rib short for the rest of my life. Putting all these screws in the metal for that morphine drip. Morphine drip is one of the greatest feelings you'll ever have.
I need to get one.
Morphine drip's so great. Here's what sucks.
Can we do a show on morphine?
Morphine pill sucks! Morphine pill, I was actually on the tail ends of it last week when we did the show, but I didn't want to tell you guys because I felt uncomfortable.
No, you didn't tell us.
Hey, did we talk about this already?
Yeah, you talked about
maybe
it after the show.
Maybe why? Because I have a morphine.
Oh, yeah, because you were I was just going to – I almost like, just said like somebody told me the morphine pills suck compared to the drip.
Oh, it was when we were on the walk.
I can't remember who said
by
that.
By the cockroaches.
Yes, at the end of the street, there's cockroaches that come out of the sewer.
Oh, almost as big as Sam. Stan.
You got morphine? I took this morphine pill. 18 hours later, I'm finally getting to bed. After I took this pill at like 1 in the afternoon, that kept me up. I couldn't eat. I was shaking.
Maybe she was mistaken. It wasn't morphine.
Maybe. I did that once before. I took something in the our medicine cabinet, and it turned out it was something really hardcore. I thought that it was like Advil. Anyways, it knocked me on my ass. I fell asleep for like 8 hours. I woke up, and all I wanted was candy. It was the weirdest thing.
I had
such a sweet tooth.
I had a girl visiting
Trazodil
me.
Or something.
Trazodil.
I gave somebody basically, I'm going to incriminate myself. I had a girl hanging out with me, and she goes, do you have any drugs? And I said, yeah, as a matter of fact, I do, because I have a friend who sends me drugs that I don't take, and I just throw them in a box, like prescription things. And
are
she
they
goes,
marked well?
Does your friend think that you take them?
She goes, Adderall would be great for the drive home.
It's true.
She had an hour-long drive home. And I went through there, and I found what I thought was Adderall.
Yeah.
Because it said A, and I took that pill, threw it in a little envelope, gave it to her. She didn't take it, got home and took it.
Ambien?
Slept 15 hours. It was Ativan.
Ooh.
Very different.
Right.
The opposite.
Yeah.
Yeah. And,
it's like microcosm.
She could have died. She could have taken that thinking it's Adderall and then gotten on the freeway.
I don't know if she would have died. She might have been
wait,
sleeping.
No. Isn't Ativan just time-release Adderall?
No.
I think you might be right, Tyler.
Yeah, I'm right.
I don't know. It was something that was Ambien. Was it Ambien? Whatever. There's too many drugs out there. Yeah, I don't want to relax with your drugs and your names. And
by the way, I'm not giving kids drugs.
I don't know. What? Anyone said you were?
Just so you know, that story sounded really bad. I had a friend over and she wanted some drugs.
Why does it got to be a kid?
Yeah, right.
I pictured like a woman.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, can I get an Adderall for the ride home? My mom drives really slow.
I love to listen to the Wiggles in my car seat.
Yeah, you're right. She was 30. I just made that up.
She will be 30 in a number of years.
She may live to 30.
What do we do about Reg, guys?
I don't. Do we? Is it our responsibility to have some sort of an intervention?
Well, it's
or something?
Twofold. I feel like I'm a bit responsible because I don't think Reggie has a whole lot of people in his life. And I'm not saying that like we're great by any means, but I do think that we are the closest he comes to. To having actual communication. As sad as that is, I think that might be the case. I think we are.
I got
an
idea.
That's absolutely true because we asked him that one night who his best friend was, and he said, I have a cousin in Texas.
Oh my God, I'm going to cry.
I got an idea, you guys.
What?
We all got to pitch in.
I'm out.
Next week.
Anderson just ripped the ejection.
Next
cord.
Week, if he's still alive.
He's
still alive.
Jesus. Yeah. You can't say something like that because now it's going to be terrible if something does happen.
We
you
bring
can't
him,
say ultimatums like that.
We bring him ribs.
Hey.
Makes
like
up for
Gary
everything.
Shandling?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
You got any coupons? They're expensive.
That's what I was saying. We got to all pitch in. $10 each. We get him $30 worth of ribs.
I just think of when I first met Reggie, he was reading a book about corporate takeovers. And I asked him why. It's like the very first time I met him. And he's like, because I'm not going to be a security guard forever. And that was like 6-7 years ago. And now he's like devolved into just sitting on the couch listening to his mom blather on about Moses. Before his shift. An hour before his shift.
Oh my God. We need to do sit down like that. That's quite a snapshot of a person's life.
I gotta go move my car so we can't put a bomb in it.
I don't think he could do a bomb. How would he kill us?
We don't know.
What?
How would he kill us?
Oh, my God.
Just walk in and start shooting.
Would he shoot, though? Where would he get the gun?
He would shoot.
It would probably be like a BB gun or something.
That'd be worse.
He'd be like, take that.
If you shot a pistol, he'd fly across the room.
What's that?
If you shot a pistol, he'd just fly backwards across the room.
He would.
So all you got to do is avoid that first one.
Here's the question. Would he do you first or come in here and get us first?
We're such awful pricks
right
now.
I think he'd get me first.
I think he'd save you for last.
Yeah, maybe. Remember the good old days when I used to show him pictures of dicks on the computer?
Yeah.
All right, we need to get off this. We need to get off everything. We need to move on.
All this could have been different, you asshole, if you just showed him a picture of Moses. This all could have been different.
If you just gave him a picture of Moses.
Mike, you could say it's a picture of Moses, and then he unfurls it, and it's a giant dick. And
just show him a picture of a dick and say it's Moses' dick.
That's the name of the episode.
Moses' dick will not get us any more numbers. And I feel like there's something more uplifting, something better.
Yeah, we needed Jesus. We need to like something for our souls.
Yeah, I had something good. I can't remember what. I'm going to camp soon. Hey,
when? That. When?
You're not for a while, I guess. July.
And next week you're going somewhere?
I'm going to Vegas in a couple weeks for the first time. I'm lifting the moratorium. Is that what you call it?
Yes.
I banned Vegas.
Are we missing a show because of that, or are we still
not
stay
if we
on,
do it
on schedule?
Other than Thursday, I'm just going to miss Thursday. So
I was in Vegas last weekend.
Talk about this off air, but I hate Vegas. I think maybe the last time I went was with you, Ty.
Where
that
are you
was a
stay?
Long time
yeah,
ago.
That
right?
was like, that was a good time.
Where are you
time.
Staying?
It was a good time except for that the ticket I got.
The Mandalay Bay, but yeah, we're going to see Jane's Addiction and Mother's Day weekend. It's gonna be a good time.
I think I think you're gonna dig Vegas.
Las Vegas. Yeah,
under these circumstances,
I just don't like the douche fucks that are there. Don't like them.
There's so many awful people there,
and they're not in Laughlin.
Overwhelming.
Laughlin's awesome.
There is Vegas. Is yes, I second what you said. I was
going to
expand on it, but it really is. It really is nothing. Not nothing, but there's a few normal people. But
you know what it
by
is?
And
it's
large,
like a massive mall filled with douche fucks.
Yeah, it's the biggest massive. Collection of assholes.
And they're
and
hordes.
That's
just,
the women,
so many.
Too.
There's so many of them.
Yeah.
And they're just everywhere you go. There's just giant conglomerates of whores.
And it's just like terrible people that like are super like straight-laced in everything they do. And then when they go to Vegas,
yes.
they just act like complete
it's like,
fucking
yeah,
morons.
Yes. It's like St. Patrick's Day. All
yes.
day, every day.
Absolutely.
Just amateur fucking hour.
That's exactly what it is.
A bunch of fucks from, you know, smaller parts of the world who are like, this week we're going to be crazy.
It's just people that are so full of shit. Mm-hmm. Such liars.
Hey, Vegas, baby. It stays in Vegas.
Yeah.
I can't. You'll hear
you were the one telling us that you ran into two people that were, they had come from like London or something and they were just going to stay there for 2 weeks?
No. Those are the people that I met at Gandhi's Ashes. They were from England, and they were going to Vegas for a night or two, and she was only 19. They were very upset to hear that she couldn't gamble or drink or anything. And her boyfriend was 21, so he left her in the room. Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't be upset that you can't spend exorbitant amounts of money on overpriced booze and gamble. When
free
they just,
booze if you're at the pie guy table.
True.
No, just get a just tell them to bring a bottle of fucking booze and just drink it in the room.
Guys, you could just drink it on the strip.
You can buy a goddamn case of Corona, chill it in your room, and then just every time you walk out, take two bottles with you.
You
just
could
walk
carry
around.
The box with you.
That's
I had a water bottle full of whiskey that I was just sipping out of at a table. I was really classy.
Oh, I've done that. That was great. Yeah, I was. It was. Oh no, we're those people.
I know.
We're them. I was at a craps table with a flask of the actual Jack. It wasn't like in a cool, like, I'm from the 60s metal flask. It was like the Jack Daniels hip flask that you buy for $7.99.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just swinging out of it
now.
And rolling dice and going, fuck you, drunken Jack. It doesn't matter. Because I was that guy. Ew.
I miss drinking now because that sounds fun.
Drinking's awful. It's disgusting and I can't stand it.
That sounds fun, though.
Drinking straight out of the bottle?
I miss going out there with my own bottle of Jack Daniels, checking into my hotel room, pouring myself one of those plastic bathroom cups.
All right, we're triggering. Stop.
Full
it,
of Jack Daniels and then walking downstairs. You know why I miss
Moses.
That? Just saved myself $15 right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I was saying. You like the, like, fuck you to the man of it.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Right.
I like the fact that I could pour one of those. I could pour that much Jack Daniels in one of those
He's
cups.
He's holding like three fingers.
And basically, I have four shots of Jack Daniels in my hand right there.
Right.
And I can, by the time...
You realize you can do that all sorts of places. Oh, no. Have you heard about the powder alcohol?
Yes.
Oh, no.
Yes. How did that get... How did that get
over!
How did that get past the first phase of approval
they said
by the
it was some sort
ADA.
Of like error and it's going to get kiboshed.
Really?
Yeah.
There's no way that America could allow that to happen.
Because the company that makes it openly says on their website, "How you, can you snort it? Yes, you can, but we say no.
You probably shouldn't. It's not very wise. It's not smart.
Yeah. What happens if I snort it? Instantly drunk.
Instantly drunk.
Yeah.
You can add it to any kind of like Crystal Light or Diet Coke. Just instant Jack
and Coke. I would be terrified to see that feeling of going from sober to instantly drunk. I wonder what that would feel like.
Pretty sweet. No, it's like doing like snorting like Vicodin or heroin. Or... All right. Absolutely.
Can you snort heroin?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh. The more you know, kids. Find your parents' heroin stash.
it's much harsher on your nose than coke is, though.
Oh, I know. There's certain drugs, because we used to crush everything we get our hands on, and there's certain, like, as soon as you snort, you're like, mistake!
Yeah.
Abort!
Yeah. Most prescription drugs, and I haven't tried to snort many, but I've tried to snort a couple.
Uh-huh.
Painkillers.
Yeah.
And whatever their whatever that byproduct is to make it into a pill, when that hits your fucking sinuses, that burns.
Hey, I got a great documentary in case you didn't hear the old film vault last week, Narco Cultura. Thank you to listener Miguel.
Is that good?
Yeah.
I heard a lot of bad things about it.
People are ass fucks. You know what? On the homepage of IMDb for that movie, 1 star out of 10. And this person's like, it's a very irresponsible movie. They're glorifying this subculture, subgenre of ranchero music, which is disgusting. Here's the movie. It's Juarez, Mexico, right? Population 1.5 million. Flush on the border of El Paso, Texas, right? El Paso, Texas annually has like 5 murders, right? 5 homicides. Which I found hard to believe. I thought there'd be at least 10, but it's 5, right?
I stayed in El Paso at the border.
Oh, yeah?
And my friends were like, we're going over tonight.
You don't want to go to Juarez.
They would not fucking let it go, and I fought it and fought it and fought it, and we didn't go.
Okay, so when was this?
The Bird movie.
Oh, yeah, that's like right towards the beginning.
They're like, we're going to go over there.
2006, things like started dramatically changing.
That's when it was.
So 5 people dead in El Paso in the year of like 2008 or whatever. If you look at the stats in Juarez, which is literally 5 kilometers away.
It's right there. It's right over the freeway.
Like 4,000 murders. Just shy of 4,000 murders. All right? 5 on the United States side. 4,000 on the
That's
the
why you
got to
watch The Bridge on FX. Awesome.
Tyler, stop trying to hijack this conversation.
It's about a murders that happened between El Paso and Juarez.
Okay. All right. Well, it would have been a fascinating documentary if it was just about the crimes, which they cover because it's an Israeli filmmaker, documentarian, photographer who did this movie. So he had no fear because, you know, he's used to like the Gaza Strait and
Gaza Strait.
I don't know. I'm making things up because I don't know shit
strip.
About
the Gaza Strip.
Gaza Strip.
Which actually sounds less
Las Vegas. Tyler. So he follows this poor like NCIS type murder investigator over there. In Juarez, right? And the guy's name's Rich, and you feel really bad for the fucker because all of his like comrades are getting taken out. And when he gets to the crime scene investigation, he has to wear like a mask. They all wear masks,
so they're not recognized.
So that if murderers are in the crowd watching, they won't, you know, be recognized. Yeah.
Ugh.
I don't know why this guy did the documentary. It's like, dude, get your face off the documentary, man. He goes straight from work to home where he lives with his parents. And he stays in his room. It's so fucking sad. He's like, here's the only place where I feel, you know, safe and peaceful. I'm with myself. Now, it's got that guy's story. And you see all the blood and the guts and the crimes that he has to show up to. And just all the murders. And it's very sad and just terrible living conditions. Cut to the juxtaposition. The other story that they tell is this Mexican dude named Edgar who lives in L.A. And he makes this, it's called Corrido. Narco Corrido, which I never heard of that style of music, but it's ranchero music with a umpapa and all that stuff. Except what they're singing about, you have no idea because it's in Spanish, but they're singing about heads being cut off and shoving balls in mouths and execution style murders. And it's all about the drug cartels, like glorifying the drug cartels. It's essentially gangster rap, but it's done in that ranchero style of music with the accordion. And like they do live shows and Edgar comes out on stage with a fucking bazooka. But he's like dressed like a mariachi guy. It's fucking crazy. And I'm not trying to talk too much shit, but the really interesting part of the movie is the juxtaposition of the guy who's never really seen Juarez living in L.A. and making this music and making a fortune on it, and this poor eventually making some pretty good money, and this poor guy, this NCIS guy in Mexico, who's dealing with it firsthand and not making anything, and all of his friends are getting killed. Oh, it's an
I'm going to watch
so
it.
So he's a Naval Command Investigation Specialist?
Is it?
I don't. God, I'm stupid.
I know what you meant.
NCIS. What is it?
I think you mean CSI.
CSI. It's crime
I don't actually know what NCIS stands for. Navy.
Is it available on Netflix?
Yes.
Yeah, Norco Culture is it's streaming right now.
Because you know what was great?
Huh. That was good.
Wow.
I just realized that you recommended it highly. I was just going to go. Let It Burn.
You sent away for that?
No, it's on streaming now.
Oh, is it streaming now? Let the fire burn.
Let the fire burn.
Narco Culture. Let the fire burn. Holy shit.
Yeah, it's on there right now.
I made the mistake.
Fascinating, right?
I made the mistake the other night of right before bed watching Dear Zachary.
Oh, you don't want to do that. Especially right before you go to bed.
That was a poor choice before bed. Me and Laura were just like, well, I guess it's bedtime now.
Hey, guys, if you really enjoy that middle part of the show where we're talking about Reggie's current condition, you didn't feel like you got enough? Go watch Dear Zachary.
Oh, my God. Just when you think, like, oh.
Yeah, one of the more depressing documentaries you'll ever see. Michael never sees it. Never sees.
There's some
Dear
weird
Zachary.
Choices in that movie, though, in terms of, like, the way it's made.
He's not a filmmaker. It's a guy who made, like, a little home movie for his friend.
But, like, really, like, awkwardly placed, like, gunshots and stuff, like, sound effects.
So you saw Let the Fire Burn. You liked it?
Yes.
Ty, Ty?
Have not seen it yet.
The MOVE organization. And how does that story exist? And we've never heard of it.
I don't know. I don't know.
How is that possible?
I don't know. But I got to admit, you were definitely right with the filmmaker didn't take sides.
Right.
And neither side is likable.
No, both sides suck. They have one cop at the end who might be considered right or heroic.
But I mean, just the whitey racist politician, mm-hmm. like that guy was just a pile of shit. And then
he's like the mayor. No, he's like the governor of Pennsylvania.
Yeah, you want to like the MOVE guys, and then you see them do some crazy
horrible shit,
and you're like,
yeah.
What the fuck? Like to me, the worst thing they did was the loudspeakers on the street going, "You motherfuckers!
Yeah,
you
antagonizing the entire neighborhood."
The entire
That's why
neighborhood.
We haven't heard about this, because if both sides are like dipshits about it, then like no
well,
side can.
Both
be,
sides
like,
are dipshits about it with the Branch Davidians, and the entire well, that was more recent.
They burned
and,
down a giant.
Watch! Let the fire burn, Ty Ty.
True.
The by the way,
no laughing matter.
It actually struck me as horrifying because I obviously have a fascination and a fear of cults. But the fact that when they moved the second time they moved or the first time after they moved right. after the initial shooting thing. Into the new building.
Yeah.
Basically, you could be living in a brownstone and these guys moving next door and start erecting a fourth story. And you're like, what the fuck? Like, they just start building like, another story. And it's like
top.
A gun turret thing.
Unpenetrable bunker yeah. on top of the building. So, like, right in the middle of your neighborhood, which was a safe, quiet, nice little
oh,
neighborhood.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, there's a house in the United States. There's a house with a giant bunker on the top with gun turrets.
And then they put speakers outside.
And it's just and nonstop it, filth. It's like this show.
And it's not like propaganda. It's not even propaganda.
Yeah.
It's just, you fucking filthy motherfuckers. You fucking... like, it's just this filth out onto the street.
24/7?
No, the clock. But they like, sound like it's around
at
the clock.
Random times. Yeah but...
That's like they're called a prayer.
And then they...
And it's not even a giant cult. There's like maybe eight people living there.
Yeah.
It's just eight assholes. Yeah. But everyone's terrified of them because they're all about peace and love and nature and guns.
Yeah, and guns. And guns.
The guns.
No,
like no electricity, but guns.
No electricity, no technology. Yet they have a car. And then, but they did some.
They're
shit.
Like they're like one of those like Steven Seagal characters where he's like a Native American like in touch with nature,
dude,
but he also has like a machine gun.
Yeah, all their last name, they take the last name.
Well, I wanted
Africa.
I wanted
their,
to side.
Their last name is Africa.
I wanted to side with them so bad, and then one of the first things they do is they're out jackhammering up the sidewalk because they didn't want to have cement for their
society,
house.
Man.
Yeah. And
we
you're like, you can't do that.
Hard cement, man.
You can't jackhammer up the sidewalk.
They would like just lay it around in hay, like barn animals.
Yeah, literally.
Like dry hay everywhere. And they'd show these kids, and these kids had like those pot bellies.
And they're all naked.
And then, so the story is told.
Oh,
through.
How about that scene? Are the kids, are they starving? That belly's like that because he's full.
Yeah, yeah. Look at his belly. It's filled with worms.
Yeah.
Awful.
Oh, they went to the beach?
They all went to the beach.
They all sat down.
All right, kids, dinner time. Sit down in the sand. Spread them.
But it's one of these documentaries that's made entirely from found footage, stock footage. And there's no voiceover. They didn't pick up a camera or a microphone to make this. I know.
That must be exhausting. Going through all the...
The entire story is told through actual local hearings. Mm-hmm. And... about what happened the 5 months after the actual namesake of the movie.
And some of it was from a documentary about MOVE that was made by MOVE.
Right, so they had a lot of home footage of
Are
the
they
MOVE
still
MOVE.
Around?
No. Actually, you know what? I wouldn't be shocked if there is.
We should do the MOVE podcast.
What does that mean? Just embers crackling?
Hey, brother, welcome to the MOVE podcast.
No, we're not talking to Michael. And then the rest of the other side of the story, Ty Ty is told from the point of view of one of the survivors of MOVE, who's a little kid who looks like Michael Jackson when he was like 9. Imagine that. His name's mm-hmm. Birdie Africa. And he tells his side of the story. And he says, this is innocent, sweet little kid.
This is Mike Africa. And this is the MOVE podcast.
Did you read about Birdie?
2014.
Afterwards?
No.
Did you figure out what happened to him?
No, what happened to him?
Later in life?
No.
Birdie came to an end in a swimming pool or a spa on a cruise ship. And no one's exactly sure why or how. They just found him drowned and dead in a spa on a cruise ship.
How old is he?
Like 26. He became a truck driver.
That's suspicious.
Yeah, it was suspicious. Yeah.
You know what they say, suspicious. You cruise, you lose.
What if Reggie was part of MOVE?
Let's ask him. Reggie, were you brought up in MOVE?
That would make a lot of sense. That would make a lot of sense.
No, because I don't think they were into Moses.
I think they might have been.
They didn't mention it, but...
Are you guys down with Moses?
All right, there's a show.
You guys, I'm serious, and I got a
We're
feeling.
We're not doing the Move podcast. No.
Guys, I'm serious. We need to resurrect
now, I know, Tyler, you're going to be the hard sell on this one, so I'm not even going to try to convince you.
This ought to be good.
But I am like, I'm 2 years away from starting a cult.
What?
What does that even mean?
I don't know. Like, I'm ready. My morality is ready to be
forced upon other people.
I'm just about ready to throw caution to the wind and start a cult.
You could too.
Michael, do you think those cult guys just have fetish for people dressed like Laura Ingalls Wilder?
I don't know. Most of the syllables you just said, I didn't understand.
Do you think those cult leaders just have fetishes for like girls dressed like Laura Ingalls Wilder? Like,
what's the last part?
Those skirts down
who's
to
Laura
like their ankles.
Ingalls, yeah, you mean like the Little House on the Prairie chick?
Yeah, Laura Ingalls Wilder.
Her last name isn't Wilder.
Gene Wilder's daughter.
Well, she got married. She was Laura Ingalls, and then she got
married. Gene Wilder.
That was her character.
You talking about Little John?
Her character on the show is Laura Ingalls.
Well, I don't know. It's Laura Ingalls Wilder.
She has to change her name on the show when she gets married.
I don't know what to
tell
you. I
don't know what anyone's talking
I don't
about.
Know, but I made this clear over and over and over to people.
No,
in case I haven't clarified it enough.
I want to fuck little kids.
I like girls wearing dresses, so in my cult, you're going to be wearing a dress.
Every cult, and Caroli used to talk about it all the time on the old Love Line, and Drew, of course, still continues.
Laura Ingalls Wilder was an American writer, most notably the author of the Little House series of children's based on her childhood in a pirate
Okay,
family.
That may be true.
And her sexual lure.
The character on the show was called Laura Ingalls, too, but her last name wasn't Wilder.
She probably hadn't been married yet in the show. She was a little kid.
Is that a true story?
It's based on her real childhood.
Oh, okay.
Tell me more about your cult idea. Are you serious?
Yeah, I'm totally serious.
Why are you going to start a cult, Mike?
Because here's why. I want to live in a nice house. I want to live in a nice house, comfortable, surrounded by a bunch of cult followers.
Why do you got to have a cult follower? What's scary is
you hate people. You don't want people all around you.
Yeah, you don't want them around.
Oh, really?
They're all going to want stuff, too.
Hey, when you fucking guys come over my cult and you see me playing around and I got about 15 girls waiting on me hand and foot, you're going to be like, this isn't that bad.
You could never do that for half of an hour. You couldn't do it for a half hour. You couldn't play to
if
it for
I
a half hour.
If I found you 20 willing cult members.
He could.
Who were like,
if anyone
if
that
I
know,
said,
Carano's
Mike, these
the
20 people will follow you and I just put you in the room with them, you would be so awkward and weird and want to leave immediately.
You would just start apologizing to them and you could
that's, why I need 2 more years. I'm working on
to work up the nerve?
Yes. I'm working on it. I love this idea of quitting working and just laying around a house. I'm going to get a nice house with a pool and stuff.
Ow.
I'm going to treat people with respect.
He's giving us his business
crazier
model.
Crazier than a cult leader. Having aspirations of being a cult leader is crazier than actually being one.
And then every now and then we'll drive into the hills and kill a celebrity.
Oh, Jesus, is it June already? Well, you want to kill this year.
Would you do the cult if you had the nerve? But there's a caveat. Reggie
is part of it.
He has to be, yeah, your right-hand man.
He sleeps in the garage. He's security. When the cops come over, I could be, are you serious? Do you think I'm hiding anything?
All right, what are the most important parts of your cult?
I haven't thought this through. It's mostly a sex cult.
Yeah,
but,
it's always a sex cult.
Emphasis on sex. Shorts.
They just caught a guy recently. Actually, no, he's on the run. He's a cult leader.
Yeah, no, mine is not really going to be the emphasis. It's going to be a working, maybe a farm, where other people do most of the work.
You realize cult leaders usually are all pointing to something that's usually the afterlife or what is your
yeah, you gotta have a platform, Mike.
It can't just be Corona,
you know,
and bitches about modern society.
We live now. We live for the today.
Oh, Carpe Diem?
Yeah, then why are they gonna follow you?
Because I'm teaching them how to live now. Now.
Now.
But how is listening to someone else living now?
Don't fuck with my followers, you asshole.
Completely modeled after.
I'm gonna split off from your cult.
Their Bible is the Dead Poets Society's script.
When you get bored of his cult, come on over. We got a future over here.
I'll make up something about whatever.
No, I'm very serious. I'm thinking. I picture this.
No, I'm very serious.
I picture. I have a cool house, nice house. I'll put bunk beds in the rooms for the girls.
Is there a studio for us to do this shit?
Of course there is. It's a podcast studio.
You going to Lancaster?
No.
We're coming to you live from the Corona Cult Studios.
No, my dream
shout
is...
Shout out to our sponsor, Stamps.com.
My dream is I plant this house right in the middle of a nice neighborhood like other cults do.
Did you come up with the idea after you're watching The Move?
No. I thought of this 20 years ago. I was like,
oh, so 20 no. years ago, you're like 22 years from now, I'm going to be ready.
If I didn't have any kind of morality or any kind of sense of what's right or wrong, I would absolutely try to start some kind of an organization.
You need to at least make shirts out of this.
There's that documentary on Netflix of the guy who starts a religion or a cult. He's just like some average like Indian looking dude, and he like takes a year to like grow out his beard and grow out his hair.
Oh yeah, yeah, Kumar.
Kumar.
Kumare.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's fake, yeah. He was perfect for the part. Mm-hmm. And it was a documentary about him seeing
basically getting all the soccer
a,
moms.
He was like a dude from Philly or something. He's a dude from America.
And did he do it?
He's an Indian guy, and he could do like he imitate his grandma or something, and it sounded, you know, to make him sound like a Swami. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Kumare, right?
Swami.
By the end, he had like 30 people that were like
it was
wanted
so
to follow his like follow his teachings, and then he came in the room and like revealed.
All right, careful.
What? That's not a spoiler. Really... That's what it says in the description of the film.
They spoil things all the time. He takes it to very far levels, and by the end, it's exceptionally uncomfortable and compelling.
I just want to point out on a very serious note,
Kumara.
My cult is not just going to be you guys coming over and servicing me. I want us all to enjoy it.
Wow, this is really
like you worry me.
Terrible. I do.
What I don't look forward to? The worst
this,
part of
this
entire
thing.
This
isn't about just servicing me. I'll service you.
I'm not looking forward to you telling Drew about this and me suffering through his reactions,
if
which
you?
Are going to be, what are you talking about?
I think Corona's actually serious.
Yeah, I just want to, no, I am actually kind of serious, and it's not going
right.
to be a cult where I just lay around like I'm the king leader. We're all going to work together towards a common goal, which is to get a bigger house with a bigger pool, and we're going to keep on moving until we get a couple
you
hundred
people. You
could
probably buy a big plot of land out in Lancaster.
Oh, he wants a nice you can do that in Lancaster. I'm sure you want
to
be the first.
You need to get that old car dealership out in Palm Springs.
Love that. McEwen?
That we both did vines at.
Yeah, I love that place.
All right.
Rent that place out.
Rent it?
Well, or squat in it.
Well, squat first, then we'll buy it.
Vikram Gandhi. Kumare. All right. Let's say goodnight tonight. This. It's a how to make a cult documentary. You should start there.
No, I already got it.
You got it? You got to figure it out? Of all the people you know, Tyler, who would probably be most successful at least creating the cult? I don't know if he could actually continue carrying out the activities of a cult leader, but I think that he could get enough energy and enthusiasm from people. Other than like super, you know, like well-known famous people. Like obviously, if you know Corolla, it would probably be more successful.
Oh, so not just the three of us? Like, anybody
out of all
I
the
know?
People you know, yeah. I think Corona is probably the most.
I don't want to toot my own horn. Obviously, I think my cult would be a lot more. My following, it would be small, very small. Mm-hmm. But
intimate,
I think my
intimate.
Following would buy into me more than his would him. I think his are like working class people that wouldn't really move in with him.
I think you're right long term. I think short term.
You think he really?
I think short term he
well he's got a huge following.
A huge
I don't.
Following already. His yeah. minions, yeah. Like, yeah. I think he could probably get. I'm not kidding at all. 2,000 people tomorrow to drop, quit their jobs and go move into it. Yeah, I bet you 2,000 people
really?
Tomorrow would go if you give him like a week.
Yeah, I know I couldn't
talk
do that.
It.
I know I could probably get like 10.
But
yeah, I was gonna say
10.
Like I could probably name
I think
five right now that I think would sign up for your thing right away.
And I think that yours would be there like 2 weeks later, whereas his 2,000. I
it's
think
a good
half
thing
of them
you're like
go.
A nice guy, Mike, because otherwise you could be like a very Rasputin-y fellow.
Kind of is.
I know.
Here's what I want to point out to the ladies of the cult.
Oh, Christ.
Oh, I didn't even know you were accepting men in the cult.
Oh, the men.
It's gonna be give and take.
Yeah.
I'm going to give as much as I'm going to take. Probably more, ugh. Some would say. Because I have experience. I'm spilling the inner workings of my cult on this podcast when I really sincerely plan on doing this someday.
Oh,
what
God.
What am I doing? I'm
You're
ruining.
You're listening to the After Disaster Cult Cast.
Is this going to ever be like an evidence?
Probably some fucking jury's going to have
okay,
to listen to this.
Okay, this isn't. I'm not starting
episode.
A cult. I'm starting an
starting
organization.
Out with, if they're five, it's, you're alive.
I'm starting.
I'm
just picturing the jury's reaction. And there's one guy in the jury that thinks it's funny, but he's not allowed to.
And at the end, he asks us where he can download more episodes.
Mine's going to be, it's going to start off kind of like Scientology, where it's based, it's going to help
Stop,
you.
Stop it.
I'm going to listen.
I didn't think you wanted to spill it.
If you have a problem, I want to hear it. Before I exploit it and manipulate it for my own sexual gratification. No, that's not what it's about. This cult is not a sex cult.
There's sex, but it's not a sex
cult.
There
will probably be sex. I'm going to tell you right now. There's probably going to be sex.
Is that the price of entry?
It's not why I'm doing it.
Or like the subscription cost.
No, I don't want to lead people to believe there's not going to be sex.
Are you going to have a manifesto?
No, we're going to have this is not a cult.
Wait, what?
What?
It's a church. It's like a church.
Oh. He's backtracking.
All right, no. Now he's stepping. Now he's actually moving into a real cult.
Yeah.
Where he's saying no. This is a church.
No, but it's not a cult. It's going to be an organization. It's going to be
an organization.
It's going to be a group of like-minded people that are disenfranchised with what's going on in the world, and we're going to get together.
Sounds good. He's getting his whole points ready.
And we're going to all contribute our ideas to try to better the world. In the meantime, we're going to fucking suck in this house.
In the meantime, there's going to be a lot of fuck.
In the meantime, the 20 of us are going to pay rent.
In the meantime, pass the lube.
I'm sure it had its moments.